This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
This isn't a story you should have to hear, but you need to. Because once again, the justice system has done what it does best, fail the innocent and protect the dangerous. You know, like the slogan says, that's not the slogan. A man who entered a random home and unalived a sleeping six-year-old is no longer behind bars. And this just happened just a few years ago. Not because he was proven innocent, not because he served some moral or spiritual penance, but because of credits. Time served. Statutory fine print. Bureaucratic math. And now, Ronald Exantis walks free. Supervised, they say, you know, like there's somebody walking along hand in hand with him. But free. What the hell's going on, you ask? Well, let's rewind. It was December 7th of 2015, around 4 a.m., when Ronald Exantis, a nurse from Indianapolis, randomly left his home, drove over an hour into Kentucky, and ended up in a quiet neighborhood in Versailles. He didn't know the family. He didn't plan to visit anyone. He just pulled off the road, parked, and wandered into the Tipton home through an unlocked door. He roamed the house, bypassed the parents' bedroom, went straight into the child's rooms, and found six-year-old Logan Tipton asleep in bed. And that's when he picked up a kitchen knife and did the unthinkable. Logan never had a chance to open his eyes. Exantis used the kitchen knife on his head multiple times while he slept. Then he moved to the Logan siblings. One of the sisters tried to protect her little brother. Exantis slashed her too. He made it as far as the parents' room, where Dean Tipton, Logan's father, wrestled him to the ground and held him until police arrived. At the time, no one could understand what had just happened. Not the police, not the media, and certainly not the Tipton family, who had just lost their six-year-old son to a stranger who literally walked out of a nightmare and into their home. But what came next somehow was worse. Because let's get the government involved. They'll make things better. Exantis didn't deny what he did. He admitted to entering the home. He admitted to stabbing Logan. His attorneys didn't fight the facts. They argued insanity. That their client was in the throes of a psychotic episode, detached from reality, and therefore not criminally responsible, right? You're insane. Free will to do whatever you want and no consequences. And the jury bought it, at least partially. In 2018, the verdict came in, not guilty by reason of insanity on the charges of unaliving and burglary. In other words, Exantis was found to have committed the acts, but the law said he didn't know what he was doing was wrong. So while he did unalive Logan, the court said he wasn't a murderer. Well, not legally. On the remaining charges, the assaults on Logan's sisters and his father, the jury found him guilty but mentally ill. That meant he was culpable but suffering from a mental illness at the time. And that came with a sentence, 20 years in prison, the maximum for the assault charges. But here's where the system twists the knife all over again, because as it turns out in Kentucky, 20 years doesn't always mean 20 years. Thanks to a cocktail of good time credits, educational milestones, and deeply flawed policy, the public is now outraged. The policy is called mandatory reentry supervision. Ronald Exantis has now been released. Not on parole board's decision, not with a government signature, but because the law says you have to let him go. Let me be clear. This wasn't some soft-hearted judge going rogue. This wasn't a parole board granting a second chance. In fact, the Kentucky Parole Board reviewed Exantis' case just days before his release and voted unanimously to deny him parole. They wanted him to serve out the full sentence, and yet the very next day, October 1st, 2025, he was released anyway under mandatory reentry supervision, a law that forces the Department of Corrections to put inmates out early under community supervision, whatever the hell that means, regardless of what the parole board says and regardless of how the victim's family feels. Because, you know, rules are rules. Got to follow them. But the GPS says you're going to drive into a lake, Michael. But it says turn left. It's a lake. This is the world we live in. Oh, that's sinking. The man wasn't released because he was found innocent. He wasn't released because he was fully rehabilitated. He wasn't released because some behavioral panel said he no longer poses a threat. He was released because his clock ran out early thanks to paperwork. He took that six-year-old in his sleep. He attacked the boy's sisters. He invaded a family's home and left it shattered forever. And somehow, the system still treated him like a low-risk offender who earned his way out because, you know, the rules. The reaction from Dad is pretty much what you would expect. This is his father, the father of the young boy, who's no longer with us, speaking to local TV station WKYT.
I've had my talks with God because I'm not afraid to tell you all. I told the court, if I ever cross paths with him, I will kill the man. I will kill him where he stands.
So there you go. Can you blame? I certainly can't. There is a way that the system could take this back, though. But it's a long shot. If he does take the man's life, there is a thing called jury nullification. And that's where the jury finds you innocent on principle. Which I would hope might be applicable in this case. Same with the Aaron Spencer case, where that father had to take matters into his own hands after his daughter was kidnapped by the man that was out on parole for grooming and essaying his daughter when he caught up to him after he abducted his daughter in the middle of the night. He killed him. Yeah. And now he's being charged with second degree murder. Lovely system, isn't it? It works so well. Everything's good. Everything's great. We have problems. La, 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 la. No, we don't. Ask yourself, what exactly did he do to earn getting out? Sat quietly in a cell, read a few books, take a class. Last I checked, good behavior in prison doesn't erase bad behavior outside of it. It doesn't bring back Logan Tipton. It doesn't heal the scars his sisters still carry. It doesn't stop the nightmares or the empty holidays or the guilt that plagues a family that did nothing wrong except leave a door unlocked. The justice system loves to tell us that it works, that it balances fairness with accountability, that mental illness must be treated, not punished. And you know what? That's true to a point. Mental illness is real. It's widespread. And yes, many people with psychiatric disorders commit crimes. In fact, most of them are having psychiatric disorders. But not all of them break into strangers' homes and unalive their sleeping children. The insanity defense is supposed to be rare, reserved for the truly delusional, the profoundly disconnected, and yet here it was, accepted by a jury, despite the brutality, despite the randomness, despite the trail of blood and trauma he left behind. I'm not here to play psychiatrist, but I am here to ask the hard question, how is this justice? How is it justice when someone like this walks free while his victim is in a grave? And don't tell me he didn't know what he was doing. Because you know what he did know? How to drive an hour and a half. How to find a house. How to navigate the layout. How to grab a kitchen knife. How to avoid the parents' room. That doesn't sound like hallucination. That sounds like choices. Bad ones. Devastating ones. But choices nonetheless. How about accountability? The Kentucky Department of Corrections says he's now under supervision in Florida. That'll be watched until June of 2026. Ooh, well, that makes us feel great. So 6 months? until he goes and butchers somebody else's child? That he's still technically serving his sentence just in the community? That should make us sleep soundly, right? Let me ask you something. What happens if he spirals again? Or when he spirals again? What happens if the treatment plan, which is not a treatment plan, go to Florida, be free? And was that the cage we're putting him in? Florida? Well, there are gators. Maybe we could convince him there's children by the gators. You want to go by the kids? Go by the gators. Go pet them. They're real nice. What happens if the medication stops or the check-ins fail or the next supervisor drops the ball or he just goes missing and they can't find him? We've seen how that goes. Too often, the next tragedy is just a zip code away. And who takes the hit when it happens? Not the DOC, not the legislature that built these reentry loopholes, not the parole board, which actually tried to do the right thing, not the jurors who thought not guilty by reason of insanity would mean secure hospitalization, not a fast-tracked release. No, it's the next family, the next child, the next neighbor that never sees it coming. Because a man like Ronald Exantis doesn't wear a sign around his neck. He doesn't announce himself. He slips through the system, just like he slipped through the Tipton home that night. Quiet and unnoticed until it's too late. This is where the outrage belongs. Not at one decision, but at every safeguard that failed. The laws that allowed credits to rack up like frequent flyer miles. The policies that forced early release even after parole denial. The system that labeled a child's unaliving as a non-crime because the killer didn't know better, and the silence that follows all of it. So here's the truth. We need to stop pretending this is an anomaly. It's not. It's a policy failure. It's the system working as it's supposed to work. It's a legislative design flaw. It's a quiet betrayal of the people this system is supposed to protect. Logan Tipton was 6 years old. He should have been in first grade. He should have had a future. Instead, his killer found a loophole, a timetable, a second chance. If that doesn't shake you, if that doesn't make you wonder who this system is really working for, then you haven't been paying attention. Because the next Ronald Exantis, he's already somewhere in the system, earning credits, filing appeals, counting down the days on his little advent calendar of escaping or escaping justice, working by the very rules that are in place. And unless something changes, the door is going to open for him too. It started like most days do. Normal day for that family. And it ended in tragedy. Yeah. Another outraging story. But again, this is how our system works. These are the laws that are in place by the legislators you elected. I elected. Everybody. If you vote, these are the things, you know. So if you want to do better, we got to do better. We got to make better choices with the people we're putting in power and the decisions they're making and holding their asses accountable when stuff like this comes to light and fixing it before it happens again. And nullifying the jury once dad goes to trial for taking this guy out. And I'm going to say bravo ahead of time before you do it, dad. But I will say this, you do have some other kids there that are depending on you to be dad and to be free. They need you there. So maybe let some other vigilante do it. The word's out. His time will come. Let me know your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.